This morning I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, Acts 16. And I'm actually going to extend my reading and actually read it down through the end of the chapter. So Acts chapter 17, starting with the 16th verse. It says, "Now while Paul awaited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for which you are bringing some strange things to our ears? Therefore, we want to know what these things mean.' Amen. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God." Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times, the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from them. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them, Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." This morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider this our subject on this first Sunday, the year 2016. We want to consider the culturally relevant church. The culturally relevant church. Amen. The culturally relevant church. My brothers and my sisters, if someone were to ask you how to find a good church, what would you say? Would you tell them to look for one, maybe with a good children's program? Well, that would be important to somebody who has children. Amen. Would you tell them to look for a church maybe with a dynamic preacher? I get it. I don't want to sit up in anybody who might put me to sleep either. Would you tell them to look for a church with an innovative worship leader? Should it be a small church where everyone knows everyone else? Should it be a large church, maybe with double-decker seating? Does it have to have a stained glass and have pews? Or should it be a church with a more modern design? Or would you tell them, look beyond the programs, look beyond the size and scope of the church, look beyond the style of worship and or the style of the building, and better yet, Griffith, focus on the character of the people that make up the body. In other words, are you looking to be a part of a church who are working together with one heart and one purpose? The scriptures are clear. The scriptures are very clear, showing how the unity of the church and the accomplishments of the purposes of the church go hand in hand. So you're praying about where to connect, praying about where to partner. Do the people seek to work together and function per the word of God as a collective body, planning and introducing ways and means to keep things refreshed and renewed, carrying out the mission of the church, unshackling the souls of men, women, boys, and girls who are bound up and bound by sin and death? Decision to join any body of believers is about far more than the preacher's style. Though I get it, there's some who struggle when you ask, well, who's preaching on this Sunday? Because for them, that's important. Amen. For me, I just want to know that whoever's preaching is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to get a word. I'm not here to see any antics. I don't have time for form or fashion. I need a word from the Lord. Decision for joining a body of believers shouldn't be the building size or the appearance or even the worship leader's choice of music. It's important to ask the question that leads, that talks about the church's core values, biblical foundations and the essentials, those that are noted, as I mentioned, on this past 30, Acts chapter 2, 40 and 47. The church, is there sharing of God's love? In other words, is there some evangelism going on? Is there some developing of mature leadership? In other words, is there some discipleship going on? Is there building of caring relationships? In other words, is there some healthy fellowship going on? Is there some serving of others? In other words, is there some ministry going on? Is there an interacting with the Most High God? In other words, is there some worship going on? And then finally, is there some dialoguing with God? In other words, I don't want to hear so-and-so speak, but I need to hear God speak to me. Amen. There you go. That's what you want to know. So we here at the First Baptist Church, West College Hill, believe that we are called by God to be a culturally relevant church, driven to find as many ways as possible, whether they be new ways, old way, any way, for us to communicate God's unchanging truths to a constantly changing culture. We have as our motto none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, pastor told me, he said, son, there's really only one original preacher. The rest of us draw from one another and we draw from resources. He says, but all you got to do is make sure you just churn your own butter. But there was only one original preacher, and he was one of the most effective and relevant communicators of all time. Brother Freddie, whatever was hot in first century society, whatever had captured the people's attention, whatever was woven into the fabric of their everyday experiences, Those are the things that Jesus would draw from. Here's what I mean. He would say things like, look at the fig tree. Now it would capture somebody's attention. He would say things like, consider the mustard seed. And that would draw somebody's attention. And everybody knew what Jesus was talking about. You ever sat in a service? Don't point no fingers. You ever sat in a service and folk talking? You go, what in the world? Jesus talked about stuff that was fresh and current. In fact, as we turn our attention here to our text in Acts chapter 17, I want to show you a Christ follower whose name is Paul, who provides us with a great example of what it means to follow the model of Jesus when it comes to communicating God's unchanging truths in a constantly changing world. Now, before I go much further, let me explain that this book of Acts is written by Dr. Luke. Of course, you know Luke wrote the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the book of Acts is what we call the record of the Acts of the Apostles. It's also a record of the Jesus' first missionaries. And it's also a story of how early church, how it started, and how 20 years or so after Jesus' death and resurrection, how it functioned. So keep that in mind as I share with you some thoughts right here from the text that the Apostle Paul displayed right in Athens that we hear, not only at the First Baptist Church of West College Hill, but collectively as a universal body of Christ, that we here can seek to characterize and implement as we go into this new year of renewal and recommitment. First of all, look at verses 16 through 21. I want you to notice the first thing that Paul did. The first thing that he did, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, is that he went to the marketplace. Verse 17, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks or the Gentiles, but as well he went into the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. Bible says that a group of Epicurean Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him, began to argue with him. Some of them asked, what's this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seemed to be advocating foreign gods. Ain't that nothing? They said that Paul was advocating a foreign god. That's because they're foreign gods had become their God. Said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. You got folks say to you, didn't we hear all that church talk? Then they took him and they brought him into a meeting of the Areopagus or the Areopagus where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching or this new doctrine is that you are presenting to us. You bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. Now, here's some teaching here. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there, the Bible says it, they spent most of their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to whatever the latest and greatest idea was. So they called him in. But watch the text, because again in verse 17 it says that he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, but also in the marketplace with those who happened to be there. Now, Paul was like us. He loved to be in church. Come on, somebody. He didn't neglect going to church. He didn't neglect the synagogue. As a matter of fact, if you ever read fully the book of Acts, you'll see that that's where Paul always started. When he started his outreach efforts, he always started in the synagogue. Anytime he went into a new city, he would always go
to the synagogue. But the Bible says that he also went to the marketplace. In other words, he had to get outside the walls. Come on, somebody. He got outside the walls, but not only that, he got into the culture and he rubbed shoulders with the Stoics and the Epicureans who dominated the culture at that time. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. No church can be culturally relevant if they're culturally ignorant. Listen, no church ever wants to be a group of people who always say, well, I know the Bible, but you don't know much else. We don't ever want to be a group of people who say, well, we know the folk who go to our church, but we don't know anybody else. There's some churches where you go to church, they got to ask you what service you go to because I haven't seen you. So they say, oh, I go to such and such church. You do? Well, what service you go to? But that's all we know. We only talk about what we know. So the Bible says that Paul went to the marketplace, and as a result, he was given an audience before the Areopagus. Now, let me do some teaching here, because the Areopagus was a sort of supreme court of Athens. These were about 30 or so members of the council, which leads me to my second point. That provides us a model to be relevant here in our culture here in the 2016. The first thing was he had to get outside the walls. Second thing he did was he treated him respectfully. Look at verse 21, or as a matter of fact, look at verse 22. It says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, and he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. He addressed them as men of Athens. Now, Paul was a brother. Probably could have been talking to a group of brothers. But he didn't walk up and address them like some African Americans like to address one another. What's up, my? Well, y'all say brother. And then we get mad when folk outside the race say, what's up, my? He said, men of Athens. There's some folk who address you, and you got to pull a T.I. on them and say, you don't know me like that. We ain't cool like that. He said, men of Athens. And this, think about it. He adopted the customary manner of beginning a speech to the Areopagus, but that was a mode of showing respect. Why is it that when we get in church, we want to command respect? You don't address, you call me reverend. You call me elder, doctor, bishop. And then when you get outside the church, you want everybody else. They don't know nothing about that talk. But then less than that, we talk to each other down outside the church and want to use all these titles in the church. But how do we talk to folk outside of the church? He didn't say heathens. He didn't say ingrates. He didn't say street folk. He said men of Athens. Watch how Paul addressed in Acts 24:10 when he stood before the Roman governor Felix, and he said, inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer to myself. Again, in Acts 26:2-3, when he stood before Herod Agrippa, he began by saying, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused of by the Jews. Watch this, especially because you are expert and all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg to you to hear me patiently. We got to be careful that when we get outside the church, we talk in every kind of way to folk who are not acquainted with the church. These weren't bishops, elders, deacons, and apostles he was talking to. These were pagans. But even still, unchurched folk, but even still, he treated them with respect. Be careful how you treat folk. That's why some folk don't want to go into some churches, because they don't see themselves as worthy to be able to go in, because they don't know how they're going to be addressed, because they're not dressed the part. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the NIV, always be prepared to give an answer to not just someone, not just to a portion of one, but to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this, watch this, with gentleness and respect. That, my brothers and my sisters, is how I want to urge you to interact with all those in the culture around you. On your job, at school. I mean, they can't be "what's up, my" at school, but you don't want to say it in church. Isn't that something, how we got different kind of speak in and outside the church? Come on, somebody. You got some folk who will have the nerve to say, "I don't mean no harm," but they'll say, "Oh, you can't cuss in church." Well, you cuss everywhere else. You ain't supposed to cuss in church. What's the church got to do with it? If you cussing, cuss. Be you, boo. That's the difference between pretense and character. Folk want to pretend when they in church. Character is who you are when folk ain't looking. If we speak with a little more gentleness, a little more kindness, and wait a minute, a little bit more respect, we might be able to win more people to Christ. Amen. There's some folk who say, "Wait a minute, that doesn't line up, because I hear how you talk in church, but you don't talk like that at home. At church, it's hallelujah. But at home, it's hallelujah." At church, you always want to pray. But when I ask you to pray at home, you don't have time. At church, I always see you reading your Bible. But at home, I never see you cracking the bind. So, is that the way you want to look at church? Because when I look at you outside of church, that's not what I see. Which moves me to my third thing. Not only did he go to the marketplace, not only did he talk to them with respect, watch this, he found common ground. Where did you see that, Pastor King? It's in the text. Listen, y'all know how I preach. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Listen, I know I went to seminary and everything, but my man Snoop, he taught me a whole lot even about preaching. He said, "Keep it right in here." Right in here. Ain't no sense of me running all over the place. It's right in the text. It's right in here. Where you going? Where y'all? It's in the book of Acts. I'm in Acts 17. He found common ground. You talking about, "I don't see that"? Is your Bible open? Verse 23. He says, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship," he said, "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Here's what some commentators say. Some commentators have said it was easier to find an idol god in downtown Athens than it was a man or woman standing on the street. My God. Athens was crowded with idols. Does that sound familiar to any of you all? Athens was crowded with idols. So thousands, some estimate, some commentators would say. So Paul noticed an altar that bared an inscription, and that became the little parcel of common ground that he used to draw in the attention of the Athenians. What's the point you're trying to make, Pastor King? Well, here it is. It's that Paul looked around and he searched for something until he found something in common with them that he could build on, use it as a conversation starter to then draw them in. If all folk hear from you about what they're not doing right, everything they're doing wrong, everything they need to improve, every time that you see them, they got to come to this, they got to do that, folk are going to shut you down. But if Paul were walking here in the city of Cincinnati, he would ask you, he knows some of y'all missing church ain't sick. He would say, what time did you get down to the tailgate? He would say, I know the Bengals are playing this Sunday. Are you a Bengals fan? How do you think they're going to do in the playoffs? Huh? He would say, look, I was looking through some of the movie marquees. Notice I got some movie called Star Wars. Have you seen it? I don't know anything about it. He would say, look at here, as I passed you at the light, I noticed some of the music you were listening to. Come on, somebody. He would say, as I walked past your desk on your job, I noticed some of the books and magazines that you were reading. Uh-oh, be careful there, Paul. He would also say, look, as I was walking up and down the streets of Beth Avenue, notice you are gathering here on the street corner. And he would talk to them with some respect. Amen. Here's the point I'm trying to make. You can't always act and talk churchy to unchurched folk. Can't. Paul found common ground with those outside the church in order to initially reach them and connect with them. So we too, but we can't be culturally relevant if the only time folks see us out the church is when we rushing out the door trying to rush into them shiny cars to speed off the street. Which brings me to my fourth point. He then, and I get it, so some folks are saying, so what are we supposed to do? Come on now. It's right in here. It's right here. I've been to seminary, got a master's. Theological studies, but Snoop taught me some stuff, Brad. I know somebody's saying, is that what he means by culturally relevant? That doesn't sound very churchy to me. Here's the word of God. Point number four, verses 24 through 34, without me having to read it, he eventually pointed them to the living God. But you can't point folk to the living God if your lifestyle is pointing a different way. It's tough. It's tough. He pointed them to the living God. I didn't say you got to live perfect, but live with some purpose. I'm not saying you have to talk perfect, but talk with some purpose. Meet me where I am. Notice what Paul continues to say as he begins in verse 24 through the end of the chapter. I want you to follow along in your Bibles or whatever device you're using. I want you to follow along in your Bibles as I show you some fresh revelation that God gave me. Amen. That he gave to me to share with you, to keep in mind as we're interacting. Tomorrow's Monday, so for a lot of our children, they're going back to school. Amen. Even if they're in college, they're getting ready to get back to school. Some of us, we got to go back to work tomorrow. And so there's a whole, it's more than just ringing in the new year, all right? It's more than just setting New Year's resolutions. We have to desire to win some people to Christ, and winning folk to Christ has nothing to do with you wearing a cross around your neck. All right? Watch the progression. First of all, he showed them, he talked to them. Remember, he went to the marketplace. He treated them with some respect. He found some common ground, and so he's there. They said they wanted to reason with him, right? Not argue, just reason. just have a discussion. And so eventually he got us in. So right here in verse 24 and 25, what he did was he talked to them about a general revelation. He told them that God is creator of all. I know you got gods, but God is the creator of them all. He didn't want to argue. The Bible doesn't need to be debated. It just needs to be proclaimed. Folk will believe more of a sermon they see than they hear. But just give them some general revelation. He said God is the creator of all. But then look at the next thing he did. Then not everybody you're going to talk to understands the word of God. There are folk in church who don't understand the word of God. That's why I have to give people time to get there. Because some of us to do what we used to do a long time ago, when the preachers say the text, we can't find it. We'll just start right where we are because we don't want anybody to think we ain't got it. And you hoping nobody looks over at your Bible because he said Acts and you got Jeremiah. Huh? I say Hosea. You say, is that in the Bible? It is. You won't use the table of context or the table of content. Listen. Come on now. That ain't helping us. So he said, he gave him a general revelation. But then the second thing he did was in 26 and 27, he just gave them a general knowledge about God. He said, God is within the reach of everybody. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you Baptist, Pentecostal, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, First Baptist, Presbyterian. He said, I don't have a suit to come to church. He said, God is within the reach of everybody. He got their attention. Then the third thing he did was in verse 28. He said he used some illustrations from the contemporary culture. How hard is it to, when you talk about God as the creator of all and God can reach us all, just use some natural stuff? Do you see the birds of the air? I know you think that the alarm clock woke you up, but it was the grace of God. Then the last thing he did was he had to pull them in. There was an appeal. There was an appeal for repentance. And it was an appeal for repentance and salvation based on truth and not opinion. And that's in verses 29 through 31. My God, what an awesome pattern for us to follow in the new year 2016 as we seek to continue the works of Christ. That is, with a heaven-sent boldness that comes from a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. As I get ready to close, our theme for 2016 is experiencing the power of one accord. And I began some teaching on that this past Thursday, and I'm going to continue that teaching because experiencing the power of one accord is greater than uniformity. Even when the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. I get it, but even that's not the start prayer meeting. What he says is where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst because there's some reconciliation about to take place. If you look at that text before that even happened, there was some stuff that was messed up. And he said, if there's some reconciliation, if there's some healing that's going to take place, he said, I will be in the midst of that. But God is not the author of confusion. And while he has blessed us in spite of us, God doesn't always bless a mess. He's gracious. But he said, I'll be in the midst of that. Even in the book of Amos where it says, he says, how can two walk together unless they agree? It's not all of us agreeing that we're going to both wear black shoes today. It's not agreeing that today is Fourth Sunday, so everybody got to be in a black suit. If you happen to wear a tan suit, but you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are an officer of the church, you are being used by God. I understand the uniformity, but that doesn't mess with who you are now. You do what you do to the glory of God. Because you can be dressed up and messed up at the same time. You do it to the glory of God. We must be working together with one heart and one purpose. We're going to have discussions. We might even have disagreements. We might even have some things that we may not even see eye to eye. But we got to quit saying that we're going to agree to disagree. That's not in the Bible. We have to, what we're going to agree on is it might not be my idea this time, but because I'm not worried about getting the credit or check marking, getting all of this title, but it's what we're going to do, going to glorify God, and some folk going to get help. That's it. So whether you're a seasoned follower of Christ or even new, seeking Christ, I might even be talking to, and I respect this, I might even be talking to a skeptic. But all I got is the Word of God. So whether you're seasoned, whether you're a seeker, whether you're a skeptic, hear what God has to say about you and even me in Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Not says Pastor King, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me, not with a portion, not with a piece, but with all your heart. You're trying to figure out why some things haven't changed for you already in the year 2016. You haven't changed your heart. You're still holding out against somebody. You're still carrying some baggage that God said, let that go. Matter of fact, I told you to leave that a long time ago. Why are you still bringing that up? And quit worrying about other folk bringing stuff up. That's on them. Don't let that affect you. Because if somebody can control your smile, if somebody can control your countenance, wait a minute, and they done got crafty. It's not just folk looking at you and rolling their eyes. Folk can mess with you on the internet. They now getting crafty with social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And all this stuff, they have to where it's no longer old school bullying. It's cyber bullying. But when folk can get up under your skin that easily, that's too much control. You are never going to be able to control what other folk think about you. All you can do is control what you think about other folk. And don't you let these folk mess with your salvation. Don't you let these folk mess with your joy and your peace. Mm-mm. We got larger issues. That's why in the upper room, when the Bible says, there you go, that they were all together in one place, on one accord, they were there at the same time. But they were there for one purpose. They were there praying. They were there with a desire. One spirit. And sometimes the reason why you got to go to the upper room is because you got to get up above some minutia and some mundane. You got to sometimes watch this, not stick your nose in the air, but just take the high road. Take the high road. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Listen, I'm with you. I ain't been saved all my life either. Some of y'all still carry a knife. We don't have metal detectors. Some of y'all will be going off. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, I know. And some of y'all take care and conceal to a whole nother level. I ain't mad at you. I done already told Jackie Thompson, if they act up, shoot them. And then ask him if they know Jesus. We about to. Some of y'all said, oh. The Bible says to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And that might have been extreme, but I'll make a point. You can't go everywhere and think you're going to be strong all the time. If you're struggling with alcoholism, you got to stay out the bars. You can't go into the club for the music if you're struggling with alcoholism. And if you're struggling with gambling addictions, you can't go to the gambling boat for the crab legs. Because you got to walk through. Ching, 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 ching. Ching, ching, ching. That's going to draw you. It's going to draw you. We haven't reached it yet. And if you're struggling with some personal things, stay off the internet. With all them pop-ups. Stuff will grab you. It'll grab you. None of us, listen, even as children of God who are empowered with the Holy Spirit, that salvation saved us from the penalty of sin. And every day we are being saved from the power of sin. There's some tough stuff out here. And some stuff you can walk away from instantaneously. But there's some other stuff you got to grow from. But as you grow, you have to go. Quit trying to test yourself and how strong you are. God told Lot and his wife, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Come out. In 2016, I'm talking to somebody, you're going to have to come out of some stuff. I don't mean no harm, but for somebody, you're going to have to come out of a relationship. Sometimes forever ain't as long as you think. Except for this has got to stop because this ain't going to last forever. For somebody, it might be a situation or circumstance, you're going to have to come out. And God didn't just bring you through 2015 for you to pop a champagne bottle and for you to say, Happy New Year, This is your year. This is your time. And he wants you. He's calling on somebody. This is your year and your time to declare the awesomeness of God because somebody is depending on you. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's you that God wants you. Contrary to popular belief, some folk think when I stand and preach and they say, have you been to my house? Got time to be following you around. I got time. Despite the fact that awesome folk who do what they call trash dumping. Folk will go through your trash looking for some stuff to try to trip you up. But this is the year for somebody. Because it's you who God wants to use to reach that family member. It's you that God wants you to reach that friend. Or whatever the case may be. The doors of the church are open. The culturally relevant church.